Everyone, call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order. This day, Tuesday, April 21st, 2015. If anybody has any cell phones or any other devices, if you put them on silent now, it's not to disrupt the meeting. Appreciate it. Thank you. And if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, moving along now to item number three. Do we have any changes to today's agenda?
Mr. Chairman, we respectfully ask if we can continue item 14 to an indefinite date that might be handled in-house through the through our district attorney's office.
Okay. Does anybody ever, anyone else have any questions regarding today's agenda?
What was the correction?
We're going to go ahead and continue item number 14 to the definite date. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Commissioners, looking for a motion to approve today's agenda, including the continuation of item number 14 to an indefinite date.
I'll move to approve the agenda for April the 21st of 2015. Item number 14 to an indefinite date.
I'll second
the
motion.
Moving to second to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. All right, moving along now to the consent agenda. Anybody have any questions for today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
I move to approve today's consent agenda for April 21st.
I'll second the motion.
Move the second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the motion carries. All right. Moving along now to item number 8. This is discussion of possible action, approval of resolution 15-420, approving notice of completion and acceptance of the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project Phase 1. Sherry, are you going to take the lead on this?
Yep. Luke and I are. Good morning, Sherry and Evan. For the record, I have with me Lucas Tipton from Far West Engineering. We come before you today to seek your approval of resolution number 15-420, approving notice of completion and acceptance of the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project Phase 1. And I'll go ahead and let Lucas give you a little bit of summary on the project, kind of where we're at today.
Great. The wastewater treatment plant project received substantial completion on March 16th. Since then, Q&D has been off-site since a week after that. We've done various walkthroughs with county staff, USDA funding staff, as well as received NDEP approval of the project. Far West had an on-site inspector throughout the duration of the project, and we've compiled as-builts of the project and inspection records that have all being delivered to the county for their records, along with operation and maintenance manuals. The plant itself has been in service since the 11th of March and has been treating wastewater to the permit levels determined by the state and is working really well.
That's right. Commissioners, do you have any questions?
Staff comment for me would be, I'm sure Michael will agree with this. We've been down there several times over the past week, and Mike, of course, more in the course of his job. I don't know in the history of the county that we've ever had a project go so smoothly. you know, between Sherry, I'll start with you because you were the glue that kind of kept everything together compliance-wise with our loan and our grant. But Far West has just been stellar in their representation. Q&D, I mean, this has been a great project, and it's hard to believe. I've been with the county, I think, 15 years, 10 years in this job, and I can say I was inside every county facility except one. Until last week, I just seemed to have this aversion to just taking time out of a busy schedule to go tour our old, aging, decrepit sewer plant. This is something to definitely be proud of. It is, it's not a Lexus or a Cadillac, as we discussed with the national director from USDA yesterday. It's a rock-solid Chevy that, you know, that will position the, the city and the county to provide those services and meet our compliance requirements with NDEP and EPA, you know, for many years to come. So I think we owe a big vote of thanks to Lucas, Brent, and his team, as well as everybody else that participated in this project.
Exactly. Yeah, I too have toured the wastewater treatment plant, as it's now known as, down there, and it's a great operation down there, and it's going to. It's going to give us many years of service as the community expands and grows. So, anyway, thanks for all your hard work, Lucas, on this. And we appreciate your engineering team being associated with the county. So,
thank you.
Anybody else have any questions or comments regarding this? Hearing none. At this time, I'll ask for approval of Resolution 15-420 approved and those of completion.
I'll move to approve Resolution 15-420, approving notice of completion acceptance of the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project, Phase 1.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second to approve Resolution 15-420. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries. We're going to move along now to item number 9, which has to do exactly with the same item. This is discussion of possible action, approval of an ordinance authorizing the issuance of the Story County, Nevada Sewer Revenue Bond Series 2015 in the principal amount of $3,002,000 to pay, in part, the cost of refinancing an obligation issued to finance the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project. Okay. Ms. Nevin?
Thank you again, Sherry Nevin, for the record. I have with me here today Kendra Follett with Sherman and Howard. They're our bond counsel for this project. As you will recall, we came forward with a similar item last year. USDA requires us to go out and seek interim loan financing for the construction of such projects. That interim financing was with Wells Fargo. Construction has been complete, and we are now ready to move forward with our loan with USDA. So I'll go ahead and let Kendra give you guys a summary of what you have here today, an ordinance for this bond, and seek your approval on that.
Good morning.
Good morning. Kendra Follett from Sherman and Howard. So this ordinance just authorizes the revenue bond that's secured by sewer revenues. It is for 40 years at 2.5%. Those are the terms from USDA. And I can answer any questions you have about the ordinance.
Okay. Commissioners?
I have a question about the ordinance. A question about the payments.
Okay. Go ahead.
Sure. What is your question?
Well, on the literature tells how the payments are derived. Do you have there's no actual payment? Do you have an idea what the payments would be?
Yes, we do. We have a whole amortization schedule. That was, I believe, presented in the sewer budget, in the tentative budget. We've since done a little, because the loan closing date, what we had originally had from USDA was a tad different. We're planning to close the loan on May 12th, so our payments will start on that. But, yes, we do have a whole amortization schedule, and I'm sorry for not including it in this packet, but we'd be happy to provide that to you. It's a 40-year. And Hugh, is it a monthly payment schedule?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and it starts June the 12th of this year, the monthly payment.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, just for the record, Mike Nevin, Public Works. That amount, commissioners, is about $9,700 a month. An annual payment, I know it annually because that's the way I budget for it, is about $118,000 on an annual basis. So, and as Sherry mentioned, we didn't have the amortization schedule prior to the submittal of the tentative budget, so we were short in that category, and I think I made mention about $1.93 per month on the residential side and $3.17 on the commercial side. So those figures will be adjusted to appropriately reflect the amount that is needed to retire that debt.
I think this really represents a celebration for when a good plan comes together. We were here last year when all of this was floated, and we had the opportunity to do so. And as County Manager Whitten said, this has been a wonderful project. Very, very smooth, very, very clean. And thank you for everybody's help on this.
You're welcome.
So along those lines is that we've got a great engineering team to work with at Far West, but then also with the USDA Rural Development and their fine staff in Carson City and Washington, who are the ones who guaranteed these monies to do this project. And what a great team. We met one of the head guys out of Washington yesterday who came out to see the facility and tour the community to see what our future needs might be here. And this is one of the few government agencies that you'll ever see bend over backwards to help you to do whatever you deem necessary to improve your community. So.
And I just might add that list definitely includes specifically Kendra, but also Sherman Howard. We've used Kendra for many, many years, as has the school district. It's hard for me sometimes to keep up with the evolution of the law firms and changes, but the constant that is always there is Kendra, from the rail bond to the old days. And it's great, even yesterday's discussion that I took a few minutes and updated Kendra on. Discusses the opportunity yet for a few more bonding opportunities to finish this project, get her done, which is something Mike and I thought we'd never probably see done. So that list definitely includes Kendra and Sherman Howard.
Thank you. It's our pleasure to represent the county.
That's great. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Mr. Phillips?
Thank you. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. Speaking to item number 9, this is discussion before the possible action of an approval of an ordinance. Well, golly, we went through this a year ago. I brought up the fact that the ordinance was put on the agenda without proper notification for ordinances, and I was told at that time that statute allowed, you know, variance in case of emergency, but here we are a year later doing the same darn thing. I suggest y'all close the meeting, talk to the DA, so I don't have to bury her in open meeting law violation paperwork. Ask her why.
What do you deem is our violation with
this? Well, the statute's specific on county commissioners passing an ordinance and notification requirements, first reading, second reading, and publication. And wow, this is an ordinance. It's for money. And the notifications have not been made. And I'm on record a year ago bringing this up and was told it was an emergency. Well, a year later, you can't. Boy, maybe this is an emergency. I don't know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kendra, do you have anything?
Sure. Okay. So for bonds and public financing is Chapter 350 of NRS. It permits ordinances for bonds to be adopted as if an emergency exists. It is a procedural method, and it is not an emergency. No emergency has to be declared. It's procedural in 350. Only for bonds and the interim financing we did. We do this all across the state. This is typically how bonds are adopted because it's just procedural in Chapter 350 permitting that for bonds.
That's very good. That's a lesson for us all. Anyone else have any questions on this?
And that was run by our office, so that was my understanding. Different type of ordinance, having to do with bonds. Ms. Devin came to our office, we researched the issue. My understanding is there was maybe a little bit of difference on a publication, or was it the same type of publication?
Well, so in procedurally, as if an emergency exists, you consider the ordinance at one reading, and then, like all ordinances, they need to be published twice by title after adoption. If it's not as if an emergency exists, then you would present your ordinance, then there'd be a publication, and there'd be a second reading, and then there would be the two publications. But this is as if an emergency exists, consideration on this date, and if it's adopted, published twice by title after.
Okay, that was what my understanding was regarding the research our office did in relation to bonds. So it is a different thing.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other questions? Discussion? Hearing none, commissioners, call for a motion.
I'll move to approve an ordinance authorizing the issuance of Story County Nevada Sewer Revenue Bond Series 2015 in the principal amount of $3,002,000 to pay in part the cost of refinancing an obligation issued to finance the Virginia City Sewer Improvement Project.
I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded to approve this ordinance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And the motion carries. Thank you,
Kendra. Thank you.
Mr. Carey. All right, moving along now to item number 10, discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. Staff reports. This is going to be brief since we're going to be going over their...
yes. If Mr. Chairman, in the agenda notice allows you to do this, I suggest we combine items 10 and 11 and let our controller kind of lead us through, and then if there's anything each of the individual staff have to add when they're up explaining their line items, they can add that to that opportunity.
Commissioners agree to that, to combine 10 and 11?
Yes.
Need to be in the form of a motion?
I would defer to council, but I don't think so. I think the notice on the back says you can combine any items you wish.
And there is no public comment. This is discussion only, so I believe that would in fact be
Very good. All right.
So, you want a motion then? Goodbye.
No, we don't need a motion on that. So, Mr. Gallagher, you're going to make the lead on this?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the third quarter budgeted to actual review. We will start off first of all with the general fund revenue, and I will take that. You may have noticed in the 1231 report that state centrally assessed was considerably down. We usually happens during this period of time, as with a lot of the state agencies, to include carbon taxation, trying to catch up with everything that's going on throughout the year. But the big things are, again, as it was in the third quarter, building permits obviously is very indicative as to what's happening in the industrial park. Our basic CCRT is up again, telling us that retail sales for those either out in the park or here in Virginia City have considerably gone up. The SCCRT is pretty much static, with what we've had budgeted, understanding that in July 1st or probably in September of this year, we will start receiving revenue based upon our decision to go off guaranteed ship. So the carbon taxation is always about 3 months late in publishing reports. But we will get that number then. Other than that, there are very few items that the general revenue fund is about 97% of where it is in relation to 75% of the budget. So consequently, the general revenue is in pretty good shape at this period of time. If there are no further questions with that, then I'll go with Mr. Whitten's budget, his items.
Thank you, Mr. Controller. Thanks, Bart. Commissioners, I have two accounts to report. We're on our expense to budget, we are over. Keeping in mind that with three quarters of the fiscal year passed, we should be at about a 75% mark in a perfect world. So we're reporting on anything that is in excess of that. In the commissioner's budget, our line items that we are over on office supplies, this is a small amount, but we are over. We've actually spent 184% of our allocated budget. We budgeted $500. We've spent about $923. There will be a few movements in it, out of these accounts. We have two new fire extinguishers for cars for the two new, for two of the vehicles assigned to the commission office. And there was some issues with small dues and subscriptions that went into this account. Travel, I think I've reported actually the fact that we're not 100%, you know, already. I'm kind of surprised with I've got the best board of commissioners I've ever worked with. That's not a paid political advertisement. That's just a statement of fact. You guys are all over not only the county, the state, but the country. You know, that's going to reflect here, and that's one of the reasons why we've asked for an increased budget next year. Training is also over, and that's primarily because we budgeted $2,500. None of these items are, like, massive, perhaps except for travel. We budgeted $2,500. We spent $3,560 so far, so we're at 142%. That is primarily when you bring in a new commissioner that's interested in doing the best of the best job. There's an awful lot of training that goes with that, and Commissioner McGuffey has set a new bar there. Gas and diesel, I'm finding myself more and more out at try. Commissioner Gilman, I'm sure, who has the River District car, is finding himself all over the place as well. So we're at 89% right now. We budgeted $3,500 and we're at $3,145. Professional services, small amount. We didn't budget anything. We spent $240 for some outside legal costs. And capital outlay is the big one. We didn't budget or plan for anything this year. Back in May of 2014, subsequent to that, we had some issues with both cars assigned to the commission office, GMC Envoys. They were at that time deemed unsafe, and we determined that we would go ahead and purchase new cars. So we purchased actually a total of three, with two out of this office, GMC Yukons, for a total of $73,304. I will tell you, this was not anticipated in the budget, but certainly was anticipated and discussed, and we knew that we would have money coming off the 14 audit from higher than anticipated ending fund balances that will cover that when we go through the augmentations later this quarter. All told, the commission expenses budgeted were $564,219. We've currently spent about $486,000 of that, which is 86%. Because of those cars at $73,000, we will be over. We're at 86% right now, but we'll work that out through the augmentations. In the administrative budget, there are a handful of line items, actually probably a little bit more than a handful, to discuss. Overtime, we didn't budget for. So far this year, we've spent $1,214. The only folks that grab overtime is when you work over 8 hours a day, and these are our less than part-timers, specifically Chris and Roberta. Occasionally, it's necessary to go over 8 hours to get a task done, such as preparation of the budget binders for either publication to the public or to presentation to the commissioner. So we've had a number of those days where we've gone over, but we're working with staff to try to limit those. They are still working substantially under their 20-hour or 19-hour-a-week allocation. Social Security, again, we had anticipated using one part-timer, not two, and we're finding ourselves, like, we have Chris Wilkinson downstairs right now listening to this meeting, and she is the one then that painstakingly puts together the e-blast that goes out to everybody and does a great job with it. So we've got a little more Social Security than we thought we would. We budgeted $325. We've spent $900. None of these amounts are massive. Equipment maintenance, we've spent we budgeted $3,000. We spent $2,300 for 77%. We did have a state elevator inspection fee kind of snuck in on us, but we believe that we should be okay. We're at 77% right now. Communications, this was a surprise gotcha. We didn't budget anything. We spent $730. This was for some changes that were done inside the vault in our office suite, primarily for the phone networking that went upstairs, and then we had a support fee in there for the traveling recording system that is used sometimes by the Planning Commission and emergency management. Professional services, we're over, and this is a sizable one. We budgeted $100,000. We spent almost $119,000 so far, so we're 118% of budget. This was anticipated and discussed individually with the commissioners back, I believe, in, I want to say October. It could have been November. We deemed that we were not going to, we continued to not make any headway on a number of issues at the federal level, despite our efforts to go back there. Those specifically were at the time, in some respect, the public lands bill sponsored by Congressman Amade, and also the zip code issue that affects sales tax revenues, particularly out in the River District. So we engaged retired U.S. Congressman John Porter. John's a lobbyist for the Reno RTC and the airport and a number of others. John is pricey, I'm going to tell you, but shortly after he came on board, the long jam ended, not just because of his efforts, but with kind of some of his leadership and guidance. The log jam ended for the lands bill, and it was passed at the end of the year. And I will tell you, we're making headway on the zip code, although it's a process that we go through. Chairman McBride and I talk literally every 2 weeks, I believe, with Congressman Porter by conference call back in D.C., and there are a number of other issues on the table as well that he's watching for us. So that's why we're over, and we knew we would be. We've also, and this is going to be in both professional services and furniture and fixtures both, we made a decision probably early this year at the latest that we were having space problems, particularly meeting problems out at the industrial park, and we made a conscious decision to go ahead and take some unused area, clean it up. We did as much in-house labor as we possibly could through Jason and Jeff and Mike's group in Buildings and Grounds, but there were some things that needed to go to outside specialists, and then we also needed tables as well. So we're over there. All told, we're at 118%, so we will be over on this one and address it through the end of the year augmentations. Furniture and fixtures is the next one, and we're way over. We budgeted $1,000. We spent $3,600. This is primarily for those tables for the tri-conference room. It's already been used at least once by emergency management and is available for any meeting where we need to get together. Our dues are for NACO, WNDD, EDON, and NNDA. We're at 82%, but I'm pretty confident that should be the last of that for this quarter. These are typically ones where we front load and pay up front. So by the time we get the benefit of the fourth quarter allowance, that we should be okay. Legal printing is the same exact answer as we had last time. We budgeted $3,000. We spent $9,000. This is my blame it on Austin Osborne. Chapter 17 for the planning code was very expensive. That hasn't changed and won't change. We're obviously way over there, 304%, and we'll address it that way. And this, I think, I think we're beginning to find other ways to hopefully avoid those publications in the future that'll you know, that'll mitigate some of those costs. Carson Truckee Water Conservation District, we budgeted $800. We spent $629. I've got a note here from Jesse saying it's an unknown taxation estimate. I will just simply tell you typically we're at 78% versus 75%. We should come out fine with that one. Groundwater, not assessed. This is a very interesting one. We didn't budget in this current year's item for something that we have annually been notified by the state water engineer that we owe for certain water parcels, for certain parcels that are inside a particular water protection conservation district. This Carson, it's the Carson River one. Apparently no one knows in the past where this has gone. They're asking us to raise the taxes incrementally to cover a very small bill that I want to say is typically about $3,000. We opted, and we checked with council at the time, DA Mannix, and was told we could do this. In fact, he attended the meeting. We opted just to pay this because to raise the taxes, the tax amount on, I think it was about 900 parcels between Virginia City and Mark Twain, to raise the taxes was going to cost us more than this assessment was. So it will be budgeted for next year, not a period over budget. And then in miscellaneous, we budgeted $10,000. We spent $10,786, so we're $107 over 107% of our budget. That was probably one of my splurges just a little bit. First off, St. Mary's did a great solar installation, very cost effective. This is our art center, but they then found out that when you put up solar panels, folks like Dean and everybody say you got to have, you know, fences put around it. So we covered for the fence out of this miscellaneous account. I think this was actually, yeah, this was for 4th of July. Our Fireman's Museum does great things on almost no budget. Between Steve Frady, Mike Nevin, Joe Curtis, and others, you know, they do wonders. And they had our old steamer out there in the parade, and they needed some help. So I offered to pay or reimburse for the cost of the draft horses that they brought up, and it was a pretty cool day. So we're over just a little bit, and we'll fix that. So all told, administration, which has an awful lot of front-end loads, our annual insurance premium, our dues, all that stuff, we're at 93%. We might be over a little bit because of that professional services. But we'll address that in the end through the augmentations, and I've been discussing that with our comptroller. Those are my two. My added stuff, basically just two quick ones. I want to, and I wish almost that I had a camera instead, because I want to make sure everyone here knows, because he snuck in and snuck out at the last meeting 2 weeks ago. But as you read in, I think, last week's or week before last Comstock Chronicle, you know, there's been a change of ownership, change of management, you know, at the Cron, and Zach Spencer is here today. He's seated at the far, at my far right, your far left, and he is the editor for the Cron. I've already seen some very proactive, positive things coming out of that paper, and what I want to note is for the first time that I remember ever, you know, is we have both, well, our entire media section, you know, seated together on the same bench, smiling, and they were actually talking when we came in. So I think, you know, Virginia City and Story County should be very proud that we've got two quality productions and two quality people heading those up. And that's my report. So.
Okay, let me interrupt just for 1 second here, since we're combining staff with this. I think Marilee Miller, she's on staff also, and so you had something that you, because I don't know how much time you have today, if you'd like to.
Well, I have until 11:30.
Oh, you do?
Well, would you want to do it now? Or
sure, let's do it right now.
I'm still
going to
be here
until 11:30. Okay, that's fine.
Marilee Miller, River District. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a thank you note from the Lockwood Rainbow Bend Community Senior Center, 800 Perry Ranch Road, Lockwood. Dear sirs, The Lockwood Rainbow Bend Community Senior Center would like to extend a thank you to the commissioners of Story County for their attendance in the recent open house hosted by the board members of the center. Most of the positive changes we showcased are directly due to the commissioners' support and generosity concerning the improvements we've been trying to effect. The citizens of the River District came out in numbers to support the center and take part in the celebration. Naturally, having their Story County commissioners and other Story County officials present was part of the allure to the event. The board is also very thankful for the food catered by the Mustang Ranch Steakhouse and Hunter's Lodge, courtesy of Lance Gilman. The chefs were very kind and helpful, and the food was outstanding. We are grateful for the commissioner's part in this transformation and especially appreciative of the efforts of our county liaisons, Maggie Lowther and Sherry Nevin. This is signed, Marilee Miller, chairperson, Peggy France, vice chairperson, Terry Croxton, secretary, Willie Knox, treasurer, Zola Chapman, board member, and Edna Cudsworth, board member. For the people who have not ever attended a meeting, you probably don't know that there are two communities there side by side. We have three representatives from each community at all times. That's the way it was set up. We will always have three representatives from each community there making all the decisions for that large community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
You have a copy.
Yes. Thank you for all the work that you do.
You're welcome.
Okay. Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our county recorder, Jen Chapman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, go into our little budget here. In my budget, it's similar to previous discussions on this. You'll see overages in dues and subscriptions and some rents and leases. Some of that will balance out in the end, the dues and subscriptions. Let's see here. We have budgeted $1,000. We're over at we're over by $159, and that's the end. That's just to pay for additional dues of additional staff members that wasn't thought about previously. And then our rents and leases, that's kind of balanced out. It was to purchase some map cabinets for a kind of a reorganization of historic maps and stuff in the office so that we can get a handle on those. It's kind of balanced out by several other account numbers, line items that are under, such as mapping, film, computer software, record management, computer equipment, and miscellaneous. Overall, we're doing pretty good, 75%. In, and we're tracking about 71% overall. So it should be pretty good.
Yeah, very good. And even though some of these are over on percentages, the dollar value is pretty minuscule.
Yeah, yeah. We try to keep a close eye on those things.
Okay. Nice job.
Nice right. job, Jen.
Thank you, Jen. Sheriff Dantanaro?
Good morning. It's like Ms. Chapman said, several of the accounts that are over are pretty static from past issues, from expenditures that were previously made, one-time expenditures. Only a couple of things that have shown any significant change. Postage is up a little bit because of some sheriff sales that we've had. Those are pretty rare, but we seem to be getting more of them recently. The equipment maintenance, that is up from a failure that we had on a walk-in cooler at the jail. And then the biggest one probably is on the insurance. Had a boo-boos to a couple of the cars that needed to be repaired. So everything else is tracking, well, overall we're tracking at 74%, so we're right on track with where we're supposed to be. Unless there's any specific questions, that's
I'm going to make a comment as to the overtime. We've been talking about this since the first quarter of last year, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that the sheriff was on a 12-hour schedule, which we was on an 84-hour schedule, but 4 hours I think we did under a special 7K exemption certification, and we put that into overtime. That ceased as of, I'm pretty sure, December 31st or the first week in January. And for that overtime period between the sheriff and jail, it has decreased about $20,000 from where it was for the second quarter of this year, which I think going to the 10-hour schedules and whatever has certainly given us a little bit better view of what the overtime allocations or the overtime payments are. Understand?
Yes.
Anyone have any questions, Sheriff?
Just one other thing, by way of staff report, since I wasn't at the meetings this morning, I understand that question came up with the Highway Patrol coverage of USA Parkway. Just to let you know, the Colonel of Highway Patrol is coming up to meet with me on Friday with an MOU that we will be working on signing, so the clarification of USA Parkway should be forthcoming, and I know they're out there patrolling already. And as far as the issue with accidents and who's investigating what, we should have clarification on that in the very near future.
And then the sheriff should be congratulated for his participation in the Polar Plunge at Lake Hollow, raising money for Special Olympics, which he exceeded his goal of the funds that he raised.
Thank you, Sheriff. Mr. Haymore.
Morning, Commissioners.
And the public, thank you. My budget shows some significant overruns, but I can explain a few of them. We have been pleasantly busy. One of the things that it is only 79% is wages. I do have overtime of about $18,000. Which, if you remember last year, you guys asked us not to put any overtime in to see what it was actually. And so I went on that same thing and never put any overtime in my budget at all. So I've had zero budgeted for overtime. That we're trying to balance that out by new hires, and that's why most of my budget is over, is that we did have to hire new hires because of the pleasant growth that we are anticipating or that we are working on right now. So my total budget is only 88%, and our budget period is 75% at this time. Going down that office supplies, I'm over at 125% because of new chairs we've had to order, new staff. We actually pre-order, getting ready to get all the new business licenses, invoices out, and you'll see those in May start to go out to all the new companies. We've had an increase in business license and building permits. Increase in building permits at this time, we're already about 500,000 over 3 years ago. Excuse me, almost 600,000 over 3 years ago. Last year, we're already over 100,000 this year. So you can see the growth that's happening with that. We did have to because some of these new structures, as the Tesla building is 76 feet tall, above the roof line, so we had to buy some safety harnesses and for the inspectors and things that get into those cages and go up there, and for myself. So that that was the big one where we had equipment maintenance only budget for $100. We're 624% over
because we spent $524. So those were one of those things that we really didn't budget anything, but it shows a big percentage over. We spent $500 and we had $100 budgeted. We had to buy another computer and we had to upgrade all of our software. Thanks to Mr. James Dean and our Windows and some of those software programs that we couldn't use anymore. So our software is up at 124%, and we had to buy and update three old computers with new software. Luckily or unluckily, I was the, and I thank the commissioners, I put in $25,000 for a new car. I bought a Yukon for me, nicest car I've ever had. And that put me over by $12,000 on that. Hopefully we can unbug that. That's 149% over what I had budgeted for a new car. New computers, we're at 383% over. We budgeted $2,100. We had to buy two new computers and one other, so that put us up and over. So my total budget's running at 88% with 75% there. We will anticipate, we did lose an inspector. We hired a new inspector that'll start May. She actually already started, but actually be in the office May 4th. And we hired a part-time administrative assistant full-time to help us. And so that's, we're at a staff of 5 in our office in May to try to stay up with the workload. Any questions on that, on my budget? Most of it's new employees, new office equipment.
I don't know about a question, Dean, but a comment. I suppose you've been as impacted as any department in the county generally with the incredible growth at TRI that really happened starting in the last quarter of last year. So having Tesla and the huge amount of work that they've created, and now Switch coming right behind and the huge amount of work that they've created, I think you've done a great job of holding on to 88% at this point. I don't think any of us would have anticipated what's happening there at your office. And I happen to know that for the sake of folks that are tracking your career, I know you have a bed down there, and I literally know you are sleeping and getting up at 12 and 1 and 2 a.m. to make sure all those concrete floors go on the way they do. So I don't know of anybody that's working harder than you are for all of our success, and I certainly acknowledge that, and thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you, and I really want to thank the team of Story County, every department, county manager, you guys. It's just amazing. They're coming all over the world to see how we do business, and they can't believe how we do business out there. And it's because we have a super team here in Story County that makes it work, and we work together. And that makes it enjoyable, even when I have to be out there at 12 o'clock in the morning and things like that. That makes it enjoyable to see the progress and things like that. Just to recap that, we are finishing probably close to 2.5 million square foot of new buildings that's been under construction, getting ready to start a couple of more million square foot of buildings and another million under construction. So that's all part of our full team here at Story County. I think Pat has, with your guys' leadership, has put a team together that is the best in the world, and I put that against anybody. One of the other things with knowing that's coming up, with sales tax, I see some of this building permit fees, and Pat kind of says, well, slow down, don't permit them so fast, so we can get them after July 1st so we can get the sales tax. I've implemented in my office, which you'll see now, every permit that will go out will have a special condition that says that you will receive your material, FOP, at your site in Story County and pay Story County sales tax. You will also receive the long form of the State of Nevada sales tax form right with your permit, so you have that form to report your sales tax. So we are trying to put a process together to keep and record the sales tax that should have been recorded for years and gets lost in leakage in the other counties. So we're going to implement that. That was told to our staff today, and through the county managers and directing us. So we're going to try to be able to get all the sales tax we can and have it reported in Story County.
Will that be across the board on all project sites?
Yep.
Not just the cash ones, but the...
Yeah, the question just came up, well, how about the houses? Well, the houses, they're spending $50,000 to $100,000 on material, and I said yes, even down to the re-roofs, because the companies deliver the roofing material on top of the roof. And I said every permit will have that sales tax form and that requirement right in there. Previously, and through Austin and my department before in the planning, a lot of the special use permits like Barrick Gold, NV Energy, the landfill, we put that as a special use permit requirement that they had to prove to us and record the sales tax in Story County. So hopefully we can see some numbers increase on that. You might hear some rumblings, things on the houses. We are permitting, I think, one or two single-family houses out in the Highlands this week alone. So we are seeing a few of the houses come up, too. You see a few in Virginia City being constructed right now. And luckily, the ones that are being constructed, the contractors are telling me they're sold before they're even halfway finished. So we see that moving forward.
Are they going to send you copies of the tax form that they filed with the state so that we have some type of audit process going on?
We can make that as a requirement, Commissioner, Chairman. That's a good suggestion. We did that with the landfill, and we did that with Barrick, and they wouldn't even pay their contractors off until they proved, and we found out they paid a lot of it in Washoe County through the wrong county, so they had to go back. So we can do that. We can demand that they provide us, that they pay the sales tax. Even if it's quarterly, then they can send us a quarterly report.
That should be a part of the process.
That's a great, great suggestion. We can do that.
I suspect also that your revenues are going to far outpace your expenses, and probably on a percentage basis you'll stay well within or maybe ahead of the game on expenses to revenues, but we know your revenues are.
And I think that's a great point. I want to weigh in on Dean's because, again, you know, a few of these departments that are over budget, actually I could probably say essentially every department or almost every department, huge SC&I and in many cases Austin know about this. For instance, the overtime, we're trying to get his overtime down, and yet we were not willing at the time to go ahead and take a less than half-time administrator and take that up to full time, which I think we're either in the process of doing or have already done, one of the two. You're absolutely right, Mr. Gimlin, in your observations. This, probably together with our fire group, are two of the most heavily impacted. And I want to point out, Tesla has been going on for almost, let me get my numbers right here, for quite a while. They've been going on throughout this entire fiscal year, just about. Yeah, actually, they have. Yet we've received no revenue or minimal revenue to date. Actually, Dean has brought some in. Once we get in full agreement with our negotiations with them, there will be fixed amounts that recognize the labor involved in both Dean's work group and also Chief Haynes' work group as well on the plan review and permitting side for Tesla. So you're going to see that. I'm going to tell you I'm the one that's responsible for the extra $12,417.75 in going from a $25,000 used or new car, I think at one stage we were actually looking at used, you know, to a new GMC Yukon, again, entry-level base. Dean's all over this county, you know, on four-wheel drive roads. You know, we were not going to get some Chevy Terrain, you know, or GMC Terrain all-wheel drive. We needed something, and quite frankly, he's over in another one that I'm proud of. We budgeted a whopping big $800 in economic development. He spent $1,000. I don't know how he and Stacy have managed to do that, keep it that low, because we're constantly awarding plaques out to new companies, you know, that have located in the county, from Tesla to Zulily to everything, and those are the type of folks that ultimately will hop in Dean's Yukon that seats 8, you know, and take a tour of Tribe when we don't have access to Commissioner Gilman's bus. So every one of these items that he's over in, with little to no exception, were well known by us, and we worked through them each individually. So, and we will take care of whatever's left in the augmenting, and I'll be happy to say probably augment them from Tesla money, so we definitely didn't anticipate in May of last year.
And even though he's over a little bit on the budget, it's the revenue side of it coming in with the additional permitting is going to more than offset. So
absolutely.
It's a good budget.
All right, that's correct. And we've been talking about this since the first quarter of this fiscal year, that and we've been asking Dean, you know, how much help do you really need? He didn't know at that point. I mean, absolutely didn't. My question is do you need additional help?
I'm hoping not. I'm hoping we will have enough help. We're going to train a new young lady. She's going to be a building inspector. Her name is Christian Kirschman, Shannon. So she has been working, doing a lot of volunteer work for the fire department. We're going to train her as a building inspector, so you're going to see a female building inspector up here, and we're going to start her out with the small stuff and things like that and train her. But Chris and I, you're probably going to see us 90 to 100% down in the industrial park. You'll see me running through here early in the morning or coming late at night, and that's why my mileage is up for fuel, too, is because I have to cover both areas, but you're going to see us down there quite a bit.
I understand that the Chris and the inspectors and the overtime related to that. Is your office staff to the point now where we don't have to worry about additional overtime?
We're getting that under control, yes. I'm hoping this week, because I was on vacation, there was a little overtime, but we're getting that under control and hoping there's not too much more, not any more under overtime. There might be a little bit with the business license. We have it.
That always happens.
Yeah. Anything else? Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Dean.
District Attorney Ann Langer.
Good morning, Commissioners. Ann Langer, District Attorney. As far as the budget goes, record management shows $509 over. That, in effect, is a line item coming out of professional services, so although it looks like it's over, it's not. It was just that the DA's office pays a portion of the record management for the county, so that is just taken out as a line item for Jesse Fain, so she knows what that particular amount is for the DA's portion of case management. However, that's actually paid out of professional services. Also, computer equipment last year, the DA's office got a new server. It was a one-time shot of $6,000, and that is it. Overall budget, 66%, and if you have any questions.
Wonderful job.
Thank you. All right.
Dave Ballard.
Good morning. Overall, my budget sits at 75%, so I'm pretty happy with that. But some of the numbers that kind of stand out is the normal, the overtime. I've told you the same story every time, and it continues. It's still somewhat under control, but when you take a blow like you did early, it's going to stick with you. So I'm still kind of reeling from that. The overall salary is at 77%, but I actually anticipate that to thin out a little bit. My senior dispatcher, the highest earner, left. So, you know, when I fill that, it'll be with someone at the entry level. So that should thin that out a little bit. And the rest of the stuff is pretty self-explanatory. Looking at stuff here, trying to find some things that really stand out. The office supplies are 78%. You know, they're kind of right where they need to be. You know, telephones are right there at 73%. They're right, fairly close. Another one that's kind of interesting is showing my repairs. I budgeted $15,000, and I'm only at 3% of that. And the reason for that is it's actually a little bit higher because I just had Sierra Electronics up working on some stuff last week. But the reason it is because of the mild winter. We didn't have the 160, 180 mile an hour winds we usually get with the snow and ice, so nothing broke. So we kind of got lucky there, and that's why it's low. You know, rents and leases are at 63%, so nothing's really big there. The computer software is at 79%, and that was because I purchased early on. I have nothing else to purchase on that. Same with capital outlay, that's at 94%, and I don't anticipate spending any more on anything this year. I purchased all that stuff early. I believe that was the office chairs or something like that that I needed. Can't remember what I purchased with that. And that's really all I have. Everything else is right where it needs to be. It's just that overtime is still the big monster on the page.
I'm curious on that. Do we have some programs in place or analyzing this work? I know Dave has been struggling with his overtime issue for the 3 years that I've been sitting here. And it's ongoing. Is there something that in the works that will assist him?
A couple of things you could do. I mean, when you're in a 24/7 situation, Dave doesn't have the ability to do the things that police fire does. He can't put his people on 7K for what we know now. You can always do extra boards. A lot of people have extra boards where they have people kind of like reserves that are out there trying to do things. Dave's been pretty darn good about trying to find ways to do this 24/7 situation, because if somebody goes, I mean, then it's overtime. If somebody calls in sick, it's overtime. There are certain times when people are, the sheriff and Chief Ames would like to see two people on there because of the amount of calls that are going on. So, you know, if you in a perfect world, you're still going to have those people that are going to get sick and they're going to take vacations. And in those situations, without an extra board or without, you know, people out there willing to come in for those periods of times, you're going to create some overtime. And there's just
I'm painfully aware of running a company 365, 724, I've been doing that for 15 years. So, and overtime is a major challenge for us ongoing. But there are ways to approach and do some things. And we've really, with this recession we just come through, come up with some techniques that have really helped us. But maybe you and I could spend some time together and just roll some ideas around.
The big thing with it, though, is the training with it that is involved with it. I just can't take someone off the street and say, hey, I need you to work this hour and this hour. You know, they got to be involved. I am using part-timers, but when you're throwing them in there 19 hours a week, when I have a full-time person working in there, it takes a good 6 months to get them up and running. And when you have the part-timers, you know, they don't have that ability. And, you know, then you kind of run into liabilities if you take a chance and say, okay, I want you to cover this graveyard shift if something goes down. So that's the biggest problem I've had with it. I am using them, you know, with supervision and, you know, to cover some of these things, because it would be a heck of a lot worse if we didn't. But we're still in a, you know, position to where they're just not paying out the way how, you know, we wanted them to be. But again, this also had to do with the fact of losing two full-time staff members this year. Now that kind of hurts right there off the bat. Because then you said,
I'm very understanding your issue, believe me. I've struggled with it for a while.
That's my biggest, like, it's just the liabilities of it, you know. But, you know, you're dealing with police, fire, everything else. You know, it's just the liabilities is the concern. So, any other questions or anything?
Yeah, great. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
James Dean?
He's here.
Oh, there it is.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have one line item over the 75%, and that is professional services. Main reason for that is I participate in the GIS funding, and there's two $2,500 payments that go out, and one of those occurred right at the halfway mark, so it kind of kicks it up, but I will not exceed 100% on that line item. Everything else is line items that are fairly under budget. Office supplies, equipment maintenance, operating supplies, repairs, training, auto maintenance, under the direction of Hugh and Pat. If we don't need to spend it, we don't. So that money will stay in the general fund, and if we don't need to spend it, we won't. Overall, we're tracking 68% at the 75% mark, so I don't anticipate going over budget on anything.
Nice clean budget, James.
Yeah. To add on that, I had a conversation with Sierra Pacific Power on the upgrade for the 100 to 200, is that?
100 amps to 200 amps at the training building.
And I'm sure their conversation was kind of like mine, or kind of like theirs with yours, is that, you know, you have to, you have to do with the board, and if the board, you know, gets too overloaded, then they'll come and replace it.
Right.
For free. But if we don't want to do that, we got to pay for not only the transformer, but we got to pay for the pole, because they think that the pole's going to have to be replaced too, so that's something we got to think of. But, you know, the inherent downsides of this is that if we have a strike and whatever, we lose, you know, we lose capabilities with our servers. And so that's why James has put some stuff in his budget for next year to say, you know, I don't want anybody being down on anything. Plus, the other side is I don't have anybody losing any equipment.
Sure.
And if this equipment burns up and loses it or fries it because we've got a spike that can't handle it, then, you know, we're not sitting there very good. So that's pretty much, and another conversation that I had with them after the tentative budget, and I'm not sure, you know, I would like to leave that in there for next year, because I'm just not sure where that's going to go.
And I think we've seen enough this year where, again, I can tell you each and every time, it was never internal. It was always external, either, as Hugh mentioned, you know, power hits and surges through the power company, inadequate, inept service from outside vendors and independent contractors, including their equipment. And those are the types of things that when no one can get in touch with us and we can't respond for 12, 24, and once, I think, even 36 hours, you know, that's I think, what you're seeing needing to be addressed probably next year, finally, once and for all, on some of this stuff. We've already made major inroads this year with low budget impacts, fiber wire and a few other grants lands. So, you know, this is the brain of the organization here, not James himself, heaven forbid, but, you know, the IT center and the IT team. So.
Any questions? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Austin Osborne?
Thank you, Chairman, Commissioners. From a planning budget, pretty good shape. A couple things just to mention is our caseload in this last year is well over 150%. That includes maps, particularly out of Tri. We'll do 5 or 6 maps in a week sometimes. Special use permits or variances or street abandonments, everything, whether it's residential in Virginia City and the Highlands or whether it's out of Tri or commercial matters, they're all up over 100%, up even higher in some cases than 2007 and 6 levels. So even with that, because of the dues and subscriptions I'm required by NRS to do postings, and Comstock Mining postings are massive. They include all of Gold Hill, Silver City, or not Silver City, Gold Hill, part of Silver City, and the Divide. And because of the number of updates they've had, as well as things going on elsewhere, that dues and or not dues and subscriptions, but postage and public notices are up substantially. So that is about $520 over in postings. I anticipate between now and summertime that that will start to taper off a little bit as some of the big projects that we were working on have passed, and then we'll be getting to more normal type of things where we don't have to do hundreds of postings for one operation. Overtime is over $52.41. I work very hard to keep the overtime for my staff under control, and sometimes I'll use flexible measures within the parameters of law to allow extra hours to occur at one period and then try to make it up in another period when things taper off.
Yeah, $54.
Yeah, 52.41, yeah. That's really blown out of control there. But still notable, $179 should be mentioned for dues and subscriptions. Both my new planner, by the way, Jason Van Habel, if you haven't known, has taken over. He's the planner for us, and he and I are both members of the American Planning Association, and there's dues and subscriptions that go along with that, and it's based off the level of experience and the level of degrees and things like that you have is what your dues are. Both of us are fairly high on that scale, so we're over a little bit on that. And that's just about it, other than a mouse pad that was purchased for computers and equipment. But I will note that the computer I'm using is going on its seventh year. It's a very good machine. It's an old XP that was converted to 2007. I appreciate James letting me use that machine as long as it has, but it's starting to cause some funky issues. You have to kick the door closed on it sometimes because this auxiliary fan starts kicking in, things like that. It's finally going to go out, but I think it'll go out after fiscal year, so we're hanging in there with that. As far as non-budget items, just staff items to note, and I won't be too long on these, for this, in planning, I just want to give you all an update on State Route 342, and if I am correct, we're combining both in this, right? Good. State Route 342 is moving forward. I contacted NDOT yesterday, and they informed me that either today or tomorrow that Comstock Mining's plans that they had submitted for that highway will be approved, and they'll go ahead and allow Comstock Mining then to go ahead and bid for a contractor that's qualified per NDOT to design the actual road curvatures and build the route. So that will move forward. That Comstock Mining is starting to backfill that hole that has been created where the cap was put over the mine. I appreciate our Ranelle and her team for putting on the Facebook as all the pictures that have happened that Comstock Mining has submitted, as well as I've taken pictures of, as well as Mike has taken pictures of. So anybody can go on Story County's Facebook and actually see the pictures of what is occurring down there and where it is currently. So it's much appreciated. There is a bond in place, as I've mentioned before, for $3 million by Comstock Mining, and NDOT has validated that that amount is appropriate for the type of work that will be completed for both Phase 1 and Phase 2 of this road recompletion. And everything so far is on target for a June opening. I will let the Reno Tahoe Odyssey know today that as far as everything's going today, the runners will be able to go through that. The road won't be completed, but it'll be graded. And the chase vehicles will probably have to go around the truck route and back down. But for some reason, I understand that they prefer that anyway. But the Reno Tahoe Odyssey thus far will not be impacted. Last but not least, we had our master plan workshop here in the courthouse once again, as well as our zoning update workshop. I asked the planning commissioners not to take action on either. I'm not in any hurry for these documents to get complete. I would rather that we go through every little tiny nut and bolt and make sure we get what we really want. And we're really taking an out-of-box approach to particularly Virginia City as well as some of our other communities and how we want this community to look. And we've talked about zero residential setbacks in the downtown corridor. We've talked about increasing motel and hotel and transient lodging capacity in the downtown district. We've talked about modifying parking requirements and tying those particularly into master plan vision for B Street, D Street, and some of our other downtown corridors on how we might increase parking and then decrease the regulations on parking that would allow tourism and hotel lodging, things like that, to be increased, et cetera, et cetera. So ultimately, we are getting both with zoning and particularly with the master plan is a redevelopment boundary, and that boundary that is for these things might end up becoming the boundary for a redevelopment district, for a USDA and other funding, for a Main Streets program per NRS and funding, anything you can imagine in a redevelopment and a high-use, multi-use type of new urban type of environment that you see in Virginia City. Last but not least, I don't have any validation of any facts at this point, so I'm not going to talk much about it, but it appears to me through my sources that the lawsuit between Comstock Mining and the CRA and Lyon County regarding Silver City land use provisions, that Lyon County prevailed in that, in all aspects of it, and I'm validating all the facts at this point, so I'd rather not go into detail, but that I know. Thank you.
Questions for us?
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Austin. Sherry Nevin?
Good morning again, Commissioners. For the community services budget, we are trending at 66% of where we should be at 75. A couple of items that are over, and they were the same items that I presented on last time we did the same presentation, travel, and that is because of CDBG commitments and NACO. Operating supplies, it's at 94%, and most of that is related to the health fair that we put on last October. There was some supplies that we had to purchase. Training is over by $475. There was nothing budgeted in there. I attended the NACO convention, and that was where that money went to. RSVP sponsorship, you'll see that's at 100%, and that's a one-time payment that we give them annually, as well as Piper's Opera House. Both of those payments go out in July of the fiscal year. So we're doing just fine in that budget. I know that Joe Curtis is not here for emergency management, so Hugh, would you like me to do that one as well?
Please.
Okay. Emergency management is at 61% so far. A couple of items that are over are operating supplies. It's not over, but it's trending at 81%. We've done some modifications to the alternate EOC / training room at the Tri-Center, and that came out of operating supplies and training. You'll also know that computer software and equipment, computer software is actually over, and computer equipment is at 85%, and that was due to the purchase of a new computer for Joe Curtis. So overall, we're trending just fine in the budget. Have any questions for me on that?
I just give a shout out. I appreciate so much all the work you're doing in all of the communities, you know, Mark Twain and the River District and the Highlands and here. You're doing a wonderful job. I personally, and I think we all owe you a real vote of thanks for new department, new division, and new efforts, and you're doing a great job.
Sure. Thank you for allowing me to do the job that I do. A couple of items to make mention of. Residential dump days will be in Virginia City on May 1st and 2nd. That'll be next Friday and Saturday. The Lockwood Landfill has another series of dump events going on this weekend, the 23rd through the 25th. We are also in the process of putting together an application through State Parks for their land and conservation grant to replace the playground equipment at Miners Park. As you're aware, that equipment is severely outdated and is a concern for us as far as a liability standpoint. So this is a 50-50 grant, 50% federal funds and 50% match that we'll have to come up with. So we're working through that process of applying for that. That's due on May 8th. So we'll get that submitted, and hopefully we're successful in obtaining some sort of funding. Story County has also been asked to host the Governor's Office of Economic Development Community Development Block Grant Forum. That'll be held at the Opera House September 15th and 16th. We usually get about 50 people from throughout the state of Nevada that come together. It's a mandated forum that you have to attend to be eligible for those community development block grants. So we're working with tourism and various other entities here to get that going. Also, save the date for our annual health fair will be on Saturday, November 7th at Piper's Opera House. We've done that for the last couple of years. It's been fairly successful, so we're going to do it again this year. Courthouse roof project is moving slowly but surely. We have just a few items that need to be done, the catwalk and the staircase. Both of those items are done and ready to be installed, as well as some new skylights on either side of the building. And the old materials were removed from the north side yesterday. It's supposed to come back tomorrow and remove the materials on the south side. I'll make mention that yesterday we participated in the USDA's Earth Day celebration. I attended the event down in Dayton. I represented Story County at that, and then they came up and visited us actually in the afternoon, and I think someone already made mention of that. But we're thankful for USDA and all the support and the participation that we just have excellent customer service with them. So that's all I have.
I have one question.
Sure.
For you're trying to get a grant for the park to replace the equipment, have you done an evaluation on all the other parks that maybe bundle them together that take care of every all the parks?
I mean, we can look at that.
If you go to that trouble, maybe we can cover any other parks as well. That's just a thought.
Yeah, we can definitely explore those options. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Gallagher, before you go on, maybe we could take about a 10-minute recess?
Yeah.
Okay.